is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
The Near East has Al Jazeera, have Al Arabia, and now they have Al Mola. Dr. Mohler is on his way to Turkey, leading a mission trip right now, and he is going to be involved in all kinds of interesting things he's going to be talking about when he returns. So you'd be praying for Dr. Mohler as he is on his way. He just sent greetings by telephone to me, to you, from Chicago as he was on his way overseas, and he'll have lots to talk about when he returns. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about a really, really crucial day in the life of our nation, January the 22nd. And as we do so, I find it really interesting that there are lots of comments being made right now by some religious leaders about the issue of torture, including the Third Way culture program that was released last week. It received a lot of press about the issue of torture, talking about a new frame for the torture issue, recognizing and respecting the moral complexity of the issue of torture. And the Third Way folks say, you know, people have different views on torture. We don't all have consensus as to what torture is. And so therefore we need to respect one another and learn one another from one another as we talk about the issue of torture. And so rather than being hung up on whether or not torture ought to be eliminated or renounced, let's instead find ways to reduce the number of tortures that are taking place so that pro-torture and anti-torture people should come together and find what are the root causes of torture. What are the reasons that people are being tortured? And so they say, let's find ways to, for instance, encourage people who are being tortured to go ahead and give the information before they are tortured so there'll be less of a need for people to torture, whether or not you ought to torture at all. Even before you get to the question of whether or not torture should be illegal, let's try to reduce it. No, we didn't do that at all. The Third Way culture program said that we need to renounce torture. We need to denounce torture. We need to eliminate torture. It's the abortion issue that's morally complex. It's the abortion issue that none of us agree on, and so we ought to, instead of the question of whether or not abortion ought to be eliminated, instead we ought to have pro-life Americans and pro-abortion rights Americans working together on reducing the need for abortion, which is defined as some economic policies, comprehensive sex education, adoption initiatives, which I support many of these things, that's included in the Third Way culture program and some of the other agendas that are out there. But the issue of bracketing the question of whether or not an unborn baby is a human being is absolutely stunning, that we could come to the place when even among religious leaders, but when you look at the list of religious leaders, it's not as though you have some of the clear voices on the pro-life issue. You have some of the same cast of characters that you've had over and over again. But it's an important question. It's a question that I want to raise with you today as we look at January the 22nd, the date, the history, the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision that declared a constitutional right coming from an emanation, from a penumbra, from a right to privacy in the Constitution. Can't find it there, but it's like a Bible code. You can read it if you read carefully enough through it. You can find the right to privacy, and then you go from the right to privacy on over to the right to unrestricted abortion rights. On this anniversary, as Americans are gathered right now on the Mall in Washington, D.C. at the March for Life, as churches all over the country are praying for the unborn and for their mothers, how should we go forward? We now have inaugurated, as of Tuesday, President Barack Obama who today issued a statement on the Roe versus Wade anniversary. And he says, on this 36th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we are reminded that this decision not only protects women's health and reproductive freedom, but stands for a broader principle that government should not intrude on our most private family matters. I remain committed to protecting a woman's right to choose. And indeed, he is committed to that. He has said that he is going to expand abortion rights. That's a promise that he's made repeatedly in the campaign. So how should pro-life Americans, particularly pro-life Christians, how should we go forward? Should we still speak clearly about the fact that the issue is the personhood of the unborn? Or should we, as several people are calling us to do, should we instead find ways to work with pro-abortion rights folks to reduce the need for abortion? Keep it legal, but let's work to reduce the numbers of abortions. Is that the way we ought to go forward? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-8255. In a few minutes, we're going to have a friend of mine, Charmaine Yost, who is the president of Americans United for Life, and she is on the ground, on the mall right now, for the March for Life. She's the president of a national pro-life organization, and she's going to be talking to us about how she sees things as we're going forward. Is she depressed? Is she downcast? Does she think that the pro-life issue is over, or is there hope for the future? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we give up on protecting, in law and in the culture, the unborn's right to life? And should we simply say, let's work and try to reduce the need for abortion? Or should we say, no, we are going to be committed to saying, the unborn baby is my neighbor? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we'll talk about that. But before we do, in the news today, several interesting things. President Obama has taken the oath of office again. If you remember, if you watched the inauguration the other day, as I did, had my boys gathered around with me to see the historic event, and Chief Justice John Roberts raised his hand, stood there with President-elect at the time, Obama, in order to go through the oath of office, the same oath of office we've all heard 1,000 times, but it was different this time. And some people were questioning, well, since the oath of office is included in the Constitution, is President Obama in fact president? Does he in fact have the powers of the presidency? And so just to be sure, kind of like those people at an altar call that pray the prayer to receive Christ one more time just to make sure it's sure. He does the same thing. We're going to nail it down. We're going to pray it again. We're going to make the oath again just to make sure it's here. And this is how it went down.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations again.
Thank you, sir.
This time it was flawless. President Obama has taken the oath of office twice, and he is now vowing to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Of course, President Obama believes that Constitution includes the right to unrestricted abortion rights. What does that mean for the pro-life movement? How should we proceed from here? What are your thoughts? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. President Obama also is now going to be able to keep his BlackBerry. He's been wanting it. He's addicted to it. I can understand it. I don't have mine here with me right now, and I'm really upset about that. I ran off and left my iPhone, and I'm not able to check my email. I understand why you would be really agitated about that. He is demanding to keep the BlackBerry. He's going to get to do it. They're going to specially encrypt it, so it's not going to endanger national security, but it will still be able to be subpoenaed if it ever needs to be later on. Hillary Clinton, our new Secretary of State, spoke to the employees of the State Department this morning and says she is ready to begin her job of a renewed diplomatic vision for the United States of America. And one of the strangest stories that I've seen all day, I thought it was an Onion parody or something, Jacques Chirac, in France attacked by a mentally depressed poodle. Can't make it up. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we are today talking about January 22nd. January 22nd, 1973, the United States Supreme Court declared that an unborn human being does not have the right to life. And there are some people who are saying, you know, pro-life Christians and abortion rights Americans ought to just stop arguing about legality, at least for now, and just work together to reduce the need for abortions. Do you agree with that? Is that the way we ought to proceed? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And my question to you is, should that be our attitude? Should we say, we're not going to back down, we're going to stand firm for the personhood and the rights of the unborn? Or should we say, look, we are never going to reverse Roe versus Wade. We're going to have to accept the fact that abortion is legal and is going to be legal, at least for our lifetimes, and so let's work with abortion rights supporters to reduce the need for abortion. Bracket the question of the legality of abortion and instead work in that direction. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. There are a lot of pro-life Americans, especially perhaps pro-life Christians today, who are downcast and saying, you know, President Obama is very clear about where he stands on the abortion issue. He's probably going to be appointing some Supreme Court justices. And so let's stop arguing about legality and personhood and whether or not Roe v. Wade was right or wrong. And instead, let's just work together to make sure that we have the economic policies in place, the adoption policies in place, to make abortion less of a choice for women. You think that's the way we ought to be viewing this issue? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, we have on the line Charmaine Yost, Dr. Charmaine Yost, who is president of Americans United for Life. She is head of this national pro-life organization and speaks and writes all over the place about issues of protecting unborn life, protecting all human life from the moment of conception until the moment of natural death. She has spoken in front of the United States House of Representatives and committees, United States Senate. She also served in the Reagan administration and was part of the Mike Huckabee for President campaign in the last election cycle. Has a PhD in politics from the University of Virginia, and I really like the way that she stands up on this issue in virtually any arena in the United States of America. Charmaine Yost, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, Russell, it is so great to be with you today.
I understand that you are there at the March for Life today.
I am here, and boy, we have had a fantastic day. God gave us an amazingly beautiful, sunny day, and the crowds, Russell, you would not have believed it. People are saying this is the biggest crowd they've ever had for March for Life. Everybody was really pumped up, and I love that. I love you coming in with that song. I was just kind of singing along in my head. I think the march today was all about saying we won't back down. There was such a great irony in having the inauguration of the most pro-abortion president we've ever had on the same week as the March for Life. It was a nice bookend to kind of close out this week with a peaceful demonstration of marching from the ellipse up to the Supreme Court. It's just really a great day.
Charmaine, what's the mood like? I would think that people would be really downcast and depressed 2 days after this inauguration, and not just the inauguration of an abortion rights supporting president, but a president who is so enthusiastically received in the country and in the media.
Well, you know, that's it exactly, Russell. I mean, I was talking to a reporter today about him implementing his radical agenda, and she was like, radical? I said, yeah, radical. I mean, I don't use that word lightly, but, you know, he's talking about probably tomorrow he's going to come out and repeal the Mexico City policy, forcing us as Americans to fund abortion with our tax dollars. I mean, I call that radical. You know, there's an awful lot of people who may disagree with us on abortion, but they don't want their tax dollars to go for funding it. So we are really going to see a very, very different regime. But to circle back around and answer your question, I felt like the mood today was pretty upbeat. So many people here, and I think that Christians and I think pro-lifers understand that when you are called to take a stand on this issue, that this is a mission. It's not just a political issue. It's something. It's a foundationally core issue, and just because the external political circumstances have turned against us. Of course, there's always times when you get discouraged. But you know what I've been encouraging our team at AUL is just to keep remembering that we're in this for the long haul, no matter how long it takes. And the truth of the matter is, we are making progress. I was at a reception after the inaugural, and a young woman I met who was just beautifully pregnant and not necessarily on our side of the issue. I don't think she'd really thought about it much before. And she was telling my husband and me that she'd just come from having a sonogram. And she looked at me and she says, you know, she goes, they've been lying to us about this issue. And we just went on to talk about just the miracle that is the sonogram. And the truth is, we're gaining ground because people, they see these 4D sonograms where there's just no doubt about what it is that they're looking at. And Russell, I tell you, I like our odds. When I wouldn't want to be Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, and have to argue that it's okay to kill something that everybody looks at as their baby and they're putting the picture on the refrigerator. We are gaining ground in the hearts of the American people, and it's going to take some time for our laws to catch up, but that's okay. We're up to the task.
I'm wondering what our callers think about this. How do you think we ought to proceed on the abortion issue? Ought we to stop worrying about the legal status of the unborn, stop worrying about arguing as to whether or not an unborn baby is a person, and instead, as some people are saying, work with abortion rights people on reducing the need for abortion, and don't worry about the legality or the recognition of the unborn child as a citizen or as our neighbor? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Charmaine, you know, there are a lot of people right now who are saying, including some organizations like the Third Way Foundation and others,
right,
saying, let's stop worrying about whether or not one is pro-life or pro-choice. Let's instead just work together to reduce the need for abortion, since Roe v. Wade is not going to be overturned anytime soon anyway. How would you respond to that?
You know, Russell, I am so glad for you to ask me that question, because I think that this is a critical issue for your listeners to understand. I just do not have a whole lot of respect for some of the leaders who are putting forward that argument because it's entirely disingenuous. This is prepackaged sin that is coming straight from Planned Parenthood. They put their PR meisters, the best in the business. There's Planned Parenthood is a $1 billion organization. They've got all the money in the world to go out there and come up with ways to communicate their message in a way that makes them sound good. And that's what this message is all about. They want to talk about reduction without actually doing anything about it. When it comes to really common sense things that Americans agree on, like not funding abortion with our taxpayer dollars, like parental notification, like a ban on partial birth abortion, these are all things that they are unwilling to come over and agree with us on and work towards. And, you know, I've got 5 kids. It is particularly offensive to me that we have to fight Planned Parenthood on parental notification. They want to sound reasonable. They want to say, let's all sing kumbaya and come together and talk about reducing abortions. But I'll tell you, the research is really, really clear that abortions are reduced whenever states pass legislation enacting parental notification.
All right. What do you think, listeners? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We'll be right back with Charmaine Yost and your calls. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I have in my hands a copy of this week's World Magazine talking about Congressman Heath Shuler, Democrat from North Carolina, pro-life Democratic congressman from North Carolina, who talks about sitting in a Baptist church in Asheville, North Carolina, with former President Bill Clinton, listening to a pastor from my denomination, Southern Baptist Convention, preaching, talking about his church's program to help single moms, which is absolutely necessary, as we're going to talk about in a few moments. But as the pastor was preaching, Congressman Shuler said that former President Clinton turned to him and said, "There's your answer to abortion. People are pro-choice because there's no other outlet," Congressman Shuler said, "that women need more options as an alternative to abortion, like help with child care and employment." Now, there are some people who are saying, let's stop arguing about the legal protection of unborn babies. We've lost that argument. Instead, let's work with abortion rights politicians and advocates and others on reducing the need for abortion through federally funded child care, through comprehensive sex education, starting in elementary school, through any other number of means in order to reduce the need for abortion. My question to you is, do you agree, do you think that that's the way that we ought to proceed? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Charmaine Yost, she is the president of Americans United for Life. She is the Yostest with the mostest, and she is calling here from the March for Life in Washington, D.C., where she is standing for the unborn. Charmaine, I'd like to know from you, how would you advise your everyday Christian right now who's listening to this program, who says, you know, I'm not a United States representative, I'm not a justice on the Supreme Court, I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm a bus driver, or I'm a tax accountant, I live out my life every week, I go to church every Sunday, what can I or should I be doing about this issue?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I hope, you know, my mission, what gets me up every morning, Russell, is to be able to be answering that question for people every day at through AUL. We want to be equipping people. You know, obviously not everybody's called to live in D.C. and spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill, but that's, you know, that's what I do. That's what AUL is all about. And so I would start by encouraging everybody to check out fightfoca.org, which is the website we have to inform people about the Freedom of Choice Act.
Mm-hmm.
Just so, I know you're familiar with it. It's the legislation that President Obama promised would be the first piece of legislation he would sign should he become president. But a lot of people still don't know how sweeping this legislation is. It would basically create a fundamental right to abortion in federal law that would equal the right to freedom of speech, so that there could be no restraint whatsoever. It would eliminate the laws against partial birth abortion. It would eliminate all parental notification. It would frankly threaten all of the Catholic hospitals in our country, because mm-hmm. There would be no way to there wouldn't be the rights of conscience to not perform abortions in our healthcare system.
You know, Charmaine, I've heard from a lot of Christian healthcare workers, doctors and nurses and anesthesiologists, who are very, very frightened about that particular aspect of the Freedom of Choice Act.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. The doctor who delivered three of my five kids, I was talking to her just this last weekend, and she and I were laughing, and she said, "Are you going to come demonstrate when I go on my hunger strike in prison?" And I said, "You bet I am." You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, this isn't being alarmist. All of a sudden, with this new administration, rights of conscience are front and center. In fact, we are looking at ways to increase our capacity on that issue because we see it as so much of a threat. It's hard, I think, for those of us who look at life from the prism and through the direction that we look at it to understand that their perspective is that abortion is health care. Mm. And if you see abortion as health care and as a fundamental right, then there is no right in their eyes to decline to perform the procedure. And so we're really, really heading to a collision course between these two worldviews. And frankly, the scary part of it is there's not a whole lot of gray area between those two positions.
All right. Thank you, Charmaine Yost, President of Americans United for Life. It's been great to have you with us today. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. What do you think we should do as we go forward with the abortion issue? Should Christians say, you know, we've lost the argument here. We shouldn't argue about legality or personhood instead. Let's just work with pro-abortion folks to try to reduce the need for abortion. Is that the way we ought to go forward? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Yes, and how many deaths will it take till we know that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
That's my question today. How many deaths will it take until we realize that too many people have died? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program, and that's what we're talking about today. It's January the 22nd. It's the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, 1973, a decision that was overshadowed at the time by the death of former President Lyndon Johnson on that same day, but it's not overshadowed anymore. Americans are divided right down the middle over the issue of abortion rights. And there are some people, including some people who would label themselves as pro-life, who are saying, well, let's stop arguing about it. Let's instead say, okay, you have your view about the legality of abortion. I have my view, and we're not going to win right now. We don't have the Supreme Court votes to overturn Roe v. Wade. And even if we did, most of the states, almost all of the states, maybe Utah, Idaho, and Louisiana, would outlaw abortion. Everybody else would keep abortion legal. So let's instead try to actually reduce the numbers of abortions through child care and sex education and all kinds of other economic programs and social programs. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Paul on the line who's been waiting a long time. Paul, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Dr. Moore.
Hey, what's your question today?
I have a very conservative Christian friend who voted for Obama this year, and I had just asked him what motivated him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was convinced that, you know, the church's current acceptance of it wasn't going to change anytime soon. I mean, their comfort, they're not outraged that it's truly murder.
Mm-hmm.
Their current methods that conservatives use to change it are wrongheaded, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he was convinced that if Bush didn't get anything done on abortion in 8 years, that McCain would do even less, mm-hmm. since his dedication to the cause of pro-life seemed convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is for you is just how would you respond to that? I wonder if there's logic issues in that argument or if it's just
There are all kinds of issues with that, Paul. I mean, number one, as Charmaine Yost was mentioning a few minutes ago, there are clear implications immediately beginning today and tomorrow through executive order from President Obama that are going to result in the deaths of babies. That is clearly and demonstrably true. You also have a president who has said in the campaign, it's not some charge that's being labeled against him. He has said that this is what he is going to do, that he is going to give the bully pulpit over to the Freedom of Choice Act, to restricting religious liberty when it comes to the issue of abortion through the conscience clause in that legislation, through making sure that the removal, for instance, of a parental notification for abortion, that is federalized as a right. You are voting for that. If you vote for candidates who support that, you are taking the Romans 13 responsibility that is given to you. As Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the sword has been given to the state to wield against evildoers. You are taking that sword through your vote and empowering it to be used against the innocent. That is your doing. That's what's at stake there. So I think the issue is deeper than one of mere logic. You also have the question of the culture and of the bully pulpit. As former President Theodore Roosevelt put it when he was alive, you have, for instance, the statement that I read just a few moments ago of a president of the United States who is standing and denying the fact that babies are persons. That has implications. That has many, there are many implications tied up in that. And so I have really little patience for someone who says nothing is being done about the abortion issue. Not enough is being done about the abortion issue, to be sure. But that certainly doesn't mean that you then empower people who have an agenda to radicalize the abortion issue even further and to deny the personhood of the unborn even further. And that's why some of these people who speak this way remind me of an earlier generation of Americans who would say, you know, we're never going to be able to change the lynching issue by changing laws. The laws are never going to change in Mississippi and Alabama. Instead, let's work on changing minds one by one, and let's work on reducing the need for lynching. There is no need for lynching. Lynching is reprehensible, and it is a denial of the personhood and dignity of persons created in the image of God. The exact same thing is true of abortion. And so when you say, well, abortion is a morally complex issue, lynching is not a morally complex issue. Torture is not a morally complex issue. Abortion is not a morally complex issue. There's moral confusion about abortion, but it is not a complex issue. Certainly not at the level of human biology, and even more so at the level of the biblical revelation for those who claim to be followers of Christ. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should we proceed in talking about abortion now 32 years later after Roe versus Wade? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, 36 years later after Roe versus Wade. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Stella on the line calling from Colorado Springs. Stella, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to.
First of all, I do agree with, I am a pro-life believer, and I agree with what Charmaine was talking about earlier. It does sadden me that President Obama has the viewpoint that he does. I do see that it's a near impossible thing to change Roe v. Wade right now, and it says, for me, I see unborn babies as casualties of war. I mean, mm-hmm. This is an abortion battle, and I see them as casualties of this war, and it's unfortunate. However, I also believe that we need to be Christ-like and infiltrate their camp. I think that that's what Jesus did. I mean, I think that he lived amongst the people. Mm-hmm. He got into their lives. Mm-hmm. He got to know them. He became their friend. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to change, you know. And I think that that's what we're missing so much as Christians. We're so much out there fighting the evil one, and these people don't know
Stella,
Christ.
Stella, we're up against a break. We'll be right back to talk about that issue. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore, a former embryo, a former fetus, a former baby, who's here talking to you about the anniversary, the 36th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision. Where should we go from here? We have Danielle on the line. Danielle, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
So much. Thank you.
What's your thought today, Danielle?
Well, here it is. I liken the situation to the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
As a black woman, I have certain opportunities that are afforded me because people fought and said the situation is wrong, we have to do something about it, and they fought tirelessly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we don't fight for the unborn, who's going to do it? Because the people who are having and providing abortions don't see anything wrong with it, so they're not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what we have to do is we have to say this is wrong, and we're going to keep fighting until it's made right. And those that are on the front line, like Dr. Yost, we have to be their support staff. We have to hold their arms up when they get weary, because of course they'll get weary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth fighting for. It's
mm-hmm.
worth it.
It is definitely worth it. Thank you, Danielle. You know, I think Danielle is exactly right. There are many people who were saying during the civil rights movement, before that, during the debate over human slavery in the United States of America, you're not going to be able to change this by changing laws. Exactly right. You have to change hearts and minds. That's exactly right. Martin Luther King knew, though, you change hearts and minds by working to change laws. You can't change hearts and minds while the government is saying some people are worth more than other people. Some people don't have rights that are unalienable, rights including the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so there are many people all over this country who have a very different understanding of the racial issue because of legal changes that happened 30 and 40 years ago. And the same thing is true with protecting the lives and the rights of unborn children. This isn't a political issue. It isn't just a political issue anyway. It isn't just a legal issue. It also means that, as the Bible says, faith is about protecting widows and orphans in their distress. Right now there are widows all over your town. There are women who have been abandoned by men or being pressured by men to go and line up in what is falsely called a clinic line. There are orphans, children who are fatherless. They're still in their mother's wombs. And they need you as people, as churches, to pray for them, to speak up for them, and also to welcome them into your pews and into your homes and say, we'll take care of you because we're the people of Christ. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we'll be back tomorrow for more conversation on the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.